There is no scripture telling you to believe tomorrow. It's always going to be today if you hearken to my voice. So I want to just encourage you. Faith comes today. Faith will not come tomorrow. These are things that are vital to our growth. There are so many people that you somehow have been persuaded through circumstances, through what you've inherited in the natural, that you're not good enough, you can't do it, you're afraid of foreign countries, you're xenophobic, you are afraid of aeroplanes. It's all lies. It's all lies. It's all deceptions. It's all rooted in fear, the great enemy of faith, and that you qualify. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, hallelujah, to be partakers of the inheritance. And you say, oh, well, God hasn't spoken to me. Oh, yes, he has, because I've read it. And it's very simple. The psalmist wrote, ask, and I will give you gift, the heathen, for your inheritance. So if you're wondering what your inheritance is, that is it. Please don't spend too much time trying to think about what you're going to leave your kids, because all they're going to do is fight over it. So I would encourage you, be like Wendy and I, we love skiing, spending kids' inheritance. By the way, all five of my children are here this morning. I'm very thankful for that. Even my son Paul, although I think he's just run downstairs with his baby to the... It's a wonderful thing when all your children, when they're all off your hands, are still following Jesus and are going to church every week. Can you say amen? Okay, I want to read one verse, and then I want to show you a short video. I'll just read it to you, and this is becoming my, this is engraved on my heart, and I hope many of you others that feel the same way. It says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. It is my decision that for the rest of my life, I will declare my God to the next generation. A lot of people, they seem to think you've got to declare it to your generation. I do not believe that. I believe you're supposed to declare. You don't raise children your own age. So you must declare it to the next generation and the generation after them. So I want to encourage all of you older folks, if you do not have someone in your life that you're training, please come and see me. And then after you've repented, we can begin to help you to train people. I'm going to spend the rest of my life training young people, no matter what age you are, to train young people to do what God has created you to be. That story of the moth is amazing. Remember, the cocoon does not come one day. It is today. All decisions must be based on today. Praise God. Okay, that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. How about you? Waste your unearthly things? Love the prophetic word through Alice. Life is but a... Life is but a
mirror.
I wonder how many of us really believe that. Let's all say it again. Life is but a
mirror.
Tim, somebody got the backlights there? Backlights. Sean, you're nearest. Praise God. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Who remembers that? Who remembers the date? July 20th, 1969, Sheldon remembers. Who remembers the day it was prophesied? Do you remember roughly what date? May the 25th, 1961. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. I want to call today's sermon, Jesus the Pioneer. Jesus the Pioneer. This is something that's been in my heart for a little while. Something that I don't know whether I'm going to be able to explain it well. But I want to talk a little bit about explorers and discoverers and pioneers. And I don't want to get into semantics. I've looked up their definitions in Webster's and it was really not that clear one way or the other. Except I want to say this, that explorers are actually not what I want to be. I do not want to be an explorer. An explorer is somebody that goes somewhere and then comes back. An explorer is somebody who finds something but doesn't help you get there. An explorer becomes a hero and even someone that we live our life vicariously through. I don't want to be an explorer. I don't want to follow explorers. I don't want to follow people who become heroes and got medals and great acclaim because it hasn't helped me in my life. So I just wrote a couple of things down here and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures in a minute. But you see, what explorers do is all they do is they cause you to be a window shopper and become envious. Somebody else who's achieved or been somewhere, but you can't go there, then you're like an orphan with your nose pressed up the window in a restaurant, and you're still hungry and they're feasting. You see, in Jesus, the pioneer never once had that intention for any human being on the face of the earth. Jesus was not just an explorer. In fact, he wasn't. He was a pioneer. And as a pioneer, we have to ask the question that what is the purpose of pioneers? Well, you know, we've got many. In fact, let's go to that first scripture in the Gospel of John. Let's go there quickly. If you've got your Bibles with you, and if you haven't, please get in the habit of bringing your Bible. You do remember more when you look up scriptures as opposed to just listen to somebody else. Otherwise, you kind of become listening to the explorer instead of actually being someone who can go there yourself. So John 13, and I believe it's verse 36. Are you with me? John 13, 36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him and said, where I am going, you cannot follow me. Excuse me. Let me read that again. John 13, 36. Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. And then we go on to John 14. Praise God. I want to read one verse on the way through. John 14, 12. I posted this on Facebook this morning. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater work than these will he do because I go to my Father. And then Jesus continues on and says, thank you, Jesus. I can't find the verse now. Hallelujah. Somebody look for it when I quote it. It says, I go to make a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. I go to make a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. Great explorers. What verse, sorry? 14:3. Great explorers. I should think one of the most famous explorers in our country would be probably Christopher Columbus. A man I am totally unimpressed with. A man that does nothing for me. We celebrate Columbus Day. That's wonderful. We celebrate Christopher Columbus, a man who never once in his entire life ever set foot on the United States of America. We follow a man who discovered Hispaniola, which today is a combination of Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And yet we celebrate this guy like he's some great hero, but the bottom line was he ended his life in disrepute. He ended his life pretty much a failure. So to be honest, he's not the kind of guy that I want to follow. You see, I don't follow explorers because they always go on their own. I don't want to follow those kind of people. I don't want to follow somebody who has done great things but has gone places I can't go. I like being included. Have you ever been in a group of people and there's an invite to a party and they're handing out the invites and you suddenly realize you don't get one? Eh? That's an awesome thing, eh? I don't know what it's like in American high schools. I only watch movies. But you know, the in crowd, the scene, the clique, the A-listers, whatever they're called, and you're not part of it, you're not included, you're not one of them. Boy, that is one heck of a sick feeling. Can you say amen? Amen. And this is the thing I love about Jesus, is Jesus includes every single humanoid in the collective. That's why it's called the collective. Never mind. That's not an English joke. So, God has included you in absolutely every single thing Jesus ever pioneered. He's included you. We reason I picked this video is it was one of the most amazing clips the world has ever seen. Who was anxiously watching TV waiting for it to happen? Who here is old enough to? I mean, I studied this and I saw that people all around the world were watching screens waiting for this to happen. They were watching in Asia, in Europe, in Africa, in South America, everywhere around the world. Now, of course, granted, a lot of them were actually waiting to see America fail. They're always going to do that. Any form of leader, you're always going to have a nice crowd of people waiting for you to fail. Which is why leaders must always be admired, because to get wherever they're going, you're going to have to fail first. Ask, what was his name? Edison. How many times did he try and discover the incandescent light bulb? I was told like 1,100 experiments. And when each one failed, he said, well, that's good. At least we've discovered that that's not the way to do it. In the end, he lost his land in New Jersey, which was the biggest factory ever built. I'm not sure how many acres it was, and it burnt to the ground one night. So he got his wife to come out and say, look at this. Come look at this. You'll never see a fire this big again in your life. Now, that's what I call a really cool attitude. Hallelujah. I wonder if that's the kind of optimist God's looking for. I want to just talk about some of the names that our nation, and I'm saying this, I'm speaking about a kingdom here, and I'm also speaking about our nation. Every now and then, we must remember our surroundings. We must remember where we're from. I was told by somebody recently, and this is, I don't particularly agree with it, but they said, most young people today have no idea that history is longer than 2 years ago. And most people today, they have no idea about history. Take Facebook. There's no history on it. Only what happened today. There's no recollection. There's no nothing being built in it. Just, I'm now having ice cream and going to bed. Come on, I've read some of your posts. And there's only one answer to that. Get a life. Try Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, it's just amazing how there's no legacy mentality in the church today. How there's no understanding. Now, I've said this many times. I've been to Rome. I was there for 5 weeks on my way to Jerusalem in 1980. was 79. It was one of the most amazing experiences. Actually, being in Rome for such a long time, I must have visited every major church, every museum, walked every street. It was an awesome experience. I stayed for a week in a convent. I stayed for another week with a bunch of young men who were studying to be priests. They happened to live in a castle, even with a drawbridge. It was a great experience. And so I had a lot of experiences there. But one thing I got a tremendous sense of is the Catholic Church has a great mentality of legacy. Yes. That they receive something, add to it, and then hand it on. Where most of us, we don't do that. We start our own life by our own education and our own family and our own kids. And then, really, do we leave them anything? Because I don't think we do, because the next generation starts again from scratch. What is wrong with that picture? What is wrong with that picture? How many of you started your life from scratch? I know I did. How many of you started with no legacy, no inheritance? Oh, you got a few grand maybe when your parents or your grandma died, but did it really change your life? Or, what's more important, it came at a time when your life was already formatted. So it didn't change it. You might just have found a way to spend it, but did it actually form it? Let me just define what Webster says a pioneer is. A pioneer is a member of a military engineer unit. Did you know that? The number one definition of pioneer is a member of a military engineer unit trained to construct or demolish bridges, roads, trenches, etc. You see, that's what a pioneer is. A pioneer is a member of a unit. A pioneer is someone who realizes that they're doing this not just for themselves. They're doing this because what they're building is a road or a bridge or a trench. And the purpose of that is for somebody else's life to be enhanced with that inherited passage to getting to a better place. The reason I show the moon is I often think, was that the last frontier? See, to be a pioneer, there has to be a frontier. And I think that space was one of the great frontiers that mankind ever took on. Of course, we see all the Channel 43 nonsense that talks or shows the sci-fi stuff that obviously will never come to pass. We all really appreciate the very thought that maybe there is a Jabba the Hutt. One day I would love to give him a hug. But we as a nation conquered that. When Kennedy spoke those words 4 years after the Russians sent something into space, after the Russians and their Sputnik program, I could sometimes feel that JF Kennedy in his heart, the man who said, don't ask your country what it can do for you, but ask yourself what you can do for your country. The man who said, you think I'm going to be beaten by a bunch of legalistic communists? That they're going to beat the American spirit, the American dream? That they're going to defeat the very thing that we as a nation stand for, freedom and understanding that are there any limits? You see, that's what I love about this country, is no limits. When I first came here, I was astounded. In fact, Robbie said it last week. Oh, isn't it, there's no fences here in America. In England, we have a yard. Normally, a front yard would be about as big as this. Literally. And then you've got a honking great fence or a hedge around it. Some of the hedges are this thick. We've only got that much space to start with. Why do you want to reduce it with a great big hedge? The reason is we're trying to protect the little bit we got. And how many of us are Christians are trying to protect the little bit we've got? When I first came to America, I thought, there's no fences. There's so much room. There's so much space. As many as you know, but some don't, that my wife and I came here in 1978. And we hitchhiked 18,500 miles around North America. When you hitchhike that kind of land, when you go right across Canada, all across the plains, hitchhike up into Alaska, you begin to see space. You begin to see room. You begin to see somewhere to breathe. Do you know that people came to this country with nothing, man? The Irish, the Italians, the Germans. They came to this country because they came from feudal nations that restricted them, that they weren't allowed to own land. That there was the landed gentry were the only people that could own land. And the dream of these immigrants was to come to this country. And when they came here, they were astounded, man. You see, you may not have ever had that experience. I had that experience. I know Annette had that experience. There's some of us in this room that had that experience. Did you come to an abundance? You come to a room where there's a place where there's so much? Has there ever been anywhere in the world that used to have land rushes like they used to have in Oklahoma and these other states in the Midwest where they was to give you competition? Okay, guys, all line up. Off you go. Here's a flag and you can have 160 acres. Me, I've got 25 square foot with a 6 foot wide hedge around it. And I don't own it. My house, when I was growing up, we owned the house. Yeah, we owned it. Except the Queen owned the land. The Queen owned the land. And we rented it on a 99-year lease from the Queen. Sure, it only cost us £1 for 99 years. The price was right, but it still wasn't ours. That's why the houses are called leasehold or freehold. Ours was a leasehold. It wasn't free. And so it really gets me at times when I think, what are we thinking? What are we thinking as Americans? What are we thinking as followers of Jesus Christ whom the Son has set free? We're free indeed. And yet we limit ourselves to this postage stamp mentality, put a fence around it, and try and keep all danger out. Pioneering is a dangerous thing. Pioneering is a dangerous thing. The Oregon Trail, I don't know about you. Does anybody know the name of a person who went on the Oregon Trail? All right, how about the other explorers? What were they called? Starsky and Hutch? Lewis and Clark, that was it. Lewis and Clark. Yeah, Lewis and Clark, write books, make movies. Oh, wonderful. Lewis and Clark, they were pathetic. Pathetic. Went all that way, did all those wonderful things, made all those maps, and then came back, and nobody used that way. Nobody used that road. Does everybody know that? Yet they became famous. Oh, a hero. Somebody I can look through the window at but can never touch. See, God is not inviting us to be Lewis and Clarks. He's inviting us onto the Oregon Trail. He's inviting us with a cry that's always been in the heart of American people. That is, go west, young man. So there's no more west to go. So they took one more step. So where is the mentality of the people that made this land great? The other day, I took Robbie down to Manhattan on the way to the airport. She'd never been to Manhattan, so I wanted to show her around. And, of course, on the tip of Manhattan, you can see two of the great, I don't know what to call it, really. It's not just a statue, the emblems of this nation. The Statue of Liberty, which she said, oh, that ain't very big, is it? I said, yeah, that's what I thought. I was expecting to be three times bigger than that, mate. That's that ain't very impressive. I said, yeah, I know, but don't tell anybody. It was the French. They're Europeans. They build things small. If the Americans had built that sucker, it would have been a lot bigger, mate. But next to it was Ellis Island. Ellis Island, where all these immigrants, more immigrants came into Ellis Island than anywhere else in the world. And they came in there in this country. It just opened their arms and said, give me your huddled masses, man. Give me your poor. You know, what country thinks like that? I immigrated to South Africa in 1974. But I went because I was a qualified technician and they needed my skills. But this country said, just come. What's your skill? You can breathe? You don't have a disease? Come on in, mate. Come on in. Oh, you do have a disease. All right, wait over there for a few months till you get better. Then come on in. The amount of people they put on a ship and sent them back was so minimal compared with the amount of people they let in. Poor people with nothing except a dream that maybe there's a better place, there's somewhere else, there's something else I can do other than live in this little postage stamp with this stupid hedge around it. Hallelujah. A pioneer. Member of a military engineering unit trained to construct or demolish bridges, roads, and trenches. Yes, some of us need to demolish a few things. Come on, folks. You know how the Romans were so successful, and many of those in those days, when they used to get to a country they were invading by ship, when they got there, they burnt their boats. That's the way to do it. I'd love to do that. Next mission trip. Get to where we're going. Say, guys, give me your air tickets and your passports. Boom. Okay. Let's pray. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that to all of you. There was a notice made today. We're having a sports day. Praise God. I like sport. Most of us like sport. A lot of us do. And we've got Vaughan's new game. You know what Vaughan's new game is? I'm going to explain it to you. I've invented games before. When I used to be the coach at Greenville Christian Life Center under Pastor Ernie Fink, I'm saying this because I've never been a coach in my life. I've played sport ever since, obviously, a kid, especially rugby. And I've captained sides, but I've never been a coach. And so the school obviously had PE, gym class, whatever you call it. And the two people that started that year both quit. Amazing how many people have not got enough intuition to be able to train a few kids. But anyway, that's another story. I guess the hedge is in the way. Probably. So, he asked me, and immediately, I didn't want to do it. Immediately, I thought, oh, them kids, God, are you kidding me? But he asked. So I said, yeah. Like Alice just said, tremendous sense of duty comes when you just obey your leaders. But that's another story. So one of the first games I invented, you know the one kickball? You know Chinese kickball is when you run the other way. Well, it's hard enough getting Americans to learn to use their feet. You know, like you give an American a soccer ball, the first thing to do is pick it up. No, put it down and kick it. Kick it? Anyway, you have beautiful feet. Try it. But I think my best game that I invented was two-ball soccer. Now, anybody can play soccer, believe it or not. But when you've got two balls on the field at once, it's amazing what goes through people's minds. I'm standing there, I said, okay, pick the teams. Are you ready? Okay, go. Throw two balls out. You don't know whether you're an offense, defense. Hello, this is an American sport. Only American sports have offense and defense. Everybody else plays the whole game. It's true. See what gets in your mentality and restricts you and limits you. So you don't know whether to chase this ball on offense, go back and protect this. It's a tremendous thing. Makes people think. It enlarges the place of their habitation. But it's dangerous inventing games because my son Paul was there at the time, maybe Alice was, when I invented a game indoors because of the weather where you had to run up to a chair. I actually can't remember what you're supposed to do. Do you remember, Paul? I think you had to do something under the chair and then run backwards to, it was a relay game, run backwards to the person, tag them, and then they had to do it. Well, it was my first gym class. I was so unexcited about doing it. So I invented this game, and one of the kids fell over. His name was Mark Vadalero. And Mark was taller than me, lanky kid, bit of a whiner. He was a real whiner, actually. But he fell over and hurt his wrist. I said, oh, shut up and get on with it, you know. So I won't burn your passport. And, I'm hurting. I said, quit whining or go back to class. So he went back to class. I didn't think anything of it. Whining kids are whining kids, man. There's only one way to treat him, but he wasn't my son. Next morning, I'm in the church. Actually, we're going to have, the weekly chapel, whatever it was called. And I saw him walk through the door with his hand in a cast. And his mother. Now, I may be 6'4", hallelujah. But the spirit of fear got a hold of me that morning. I never forget that morning that Mrs. Vadalero walked through that door with her son with his hand in a cast. There's going to be danger and risk-taking if you're going to pioneer things. There's going to be arrows in your wagon. There's going to be no comfortable way to have your baby, hallelujah. There's going to be no ease to it. But at the end of it is an abundance of land, plenty of space, and room to do your wildest dreams. But you have to make a decision. You have to make that decision. Jesus said, I go to make a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. That's the pioneer Jesus is. I want to talk just a little bit again about the about our great nation. You know, I don't know if you've ever looked at these things. You know, names like Rockefeller, Carnegie, Vanderbilt, Astor. You know, some of these names that historically, of course, so many of their mansions are right here in our state. So much of it came out of New York. And yet New York now has got one of the worst poverty mentalities of everywhere I've been in the country. You see, we had these famous people and they're gone, praise God. Did they train the generation? Did they make a road for you and me? And this is an important thing. Why do we follow people that aren't making a road for you to go as well? Why do we follow people that aren't giving you a bridge? You see, explorers, you're always going to tell their story, but a pioneer will enable you to tell your story. I want to know your story. What have you done? What have you done? People can tell. People can say. We read history books. Thank God for history, but does it really help you? It tells you about what other people did, but they didn't make the road, the path, the avenue for you. The pioneer did. He made the road to Oregon. They put the tracks down so you could get the train. They laid the tarmac so you could drive there. They built the airport so you could fly there. That's what a pioneer is. And Jesus was the greatest pioneer that ever lived. Because wherever he went, he made a way for you to do it as well. Why do you think the scripture says he became poor so we may become rich? That, as I've already read, that he said, the things that I do, you will do also, and greater things will you do because I go unto the Father. He said, you cannot go there yet. But it's because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given. So now the Holy Spirit has been given, and we all know the scriptures that says that if or since the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. And we need some quickening. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm just excited about people who've never been on mission trips before. I look at Joanne right here and how she's made the determination to go to India. Have you ever been on a trip before? Joanne's never been out of the... Only ever been on a plane once. And her trip out of the country is going to be to an orphanage in India, which you may have just read has received another 18 children. Did you read that on Facebook today? There are now nearly 100 severely crippled kids in that severely disabled children in that orphanage. And she is going to go and make a difference in that place. Why is she going to make a difference? A, she's a trained nurse. B, she has compassion. But most importantly, is Jesus made a way for her to be able to do that thing. How about going under the bridge? How many of you have actually considered? By the way, where are the invites to the church? We must hand them out next week. The pamphlets, we must hand them out next week to everybody. Everybody must have these invites to a church in case we miss, you know, we don't go and knock on the door where you live. Because we're going to do Kingston and Ulster and Lake Katrine and all those areas. But be part of it. You see, how difficult do you think it would be if you went with Alice? Come on, somebody give me a hard time this morning. How difficult would it be if you went with Alice? Huh? She's got more charisma, more chutzpah than almost anybody I've ever met in my life, plus an anointing. So if she knocks on the door, hi, my name's Alice.
And I'm with her.
Do you know what makes you, do you know who that makes you? You know what your name is? John. It makes you John. Because Peter and John went to the Gate Beautiful. John never said a word. Peter says, look on us. Charisma like Alice. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And John's going, I'm with him. Peter's shadow healed the sick. But what did John do? There's not any evidence in the whole Bible of anything John did. Because John was the quiet guy.
He's my man.
But at least he went on the road with him. He went on the road with Peter. Till eventually John figured out, oh, I can lift my head up on this road. I can see where I'm going. I don't only have to go where Peter's going. I can go on my own road as well. And I can be a pioneer. You know what gets me is people who are always on about the junk food in America. It bugs me. Because I know how many starving people there are in the world. But when I say to people, hey, listen, I'm going to take you out to lunch to the most popular restaurant in the world. And then take them to McDonald's. I'm going to take you to the most famous restaurant in the world. I say that, people say, really? Is it here? Yeah. Most famous restaurant in the world. Let's go there for lunch now. Hallelujah. And the Golden Arches. Hallelujah. Yeah. The most famous restaurant in the world. Name me a more famous restaurant than McDonald's. You can't. Trust me. And then we order a drink. The most famous beverage in the world. Coca-Cola. There's only two words in the world that aren't translatable. Coca-Cola and hallelujah. Only two. Only two. Every other word is translatable. But not Coca-Cola. I was driving through the Iranian desert for 3 days. Wendy and I were on this vehicle for 3 days going across the Iranian desert. It was the most awesome trip I've ever had. We never saw any tar roads, no electric poles, nothing for 3 days. And then we came out, and as we heard, there was a road nearby. And as we approached the road, there it was, a poster almost as big as that back wall, Coca-Cola. 1977 in the Iranian desert. There may not have been a hallelujah, but there was a Coca-Cola. Why? Because Coca-Colas have pioneered this. McDonald's have done it. Gillette's, Kellogg's. I used to think Gillette's, Kellogg's and Hoover's were British companies. That's how popular they are in England. Heinz. I thought they were English too. I was do you mean Heinz beans aren't English? Oh, God. It was worse than the day I discovered Paul didn't read the King James Bible. What about Henry Ford? What about Henry Ford, man? He pioneered every one of us to get a motor car. He pioneered every one of us to do something quicker than walking or taking a buggy. One man did that. A pioneer. I mean, I'm not so sure whether Bill Gates was a pioneer or just an explorer. But I tell you, Warren Buffett, man. Warren Buffett showed anybody who'll listen how to make money. Just most people don't listen. And they don't follow someone who's been there before. I've been trying to lose weight all my life. And since I came back from India, I hit a peak weight that not only worried me, because it affected every element of my life, but it was so desperately hard to lose weight. Now, I went to the gym, and I worked hard. Hard. I mean, considering next month I can draw Social Security, I worked hard. Cycle on the stationary bike for 45 minutes, sweat flying everywhere. People wouldn't come and use the machine next to me in case they got contaminated. And after that, wait. I did everything except get the lung alarm. Then I would go on the treadmill. 15 angle, as high as it would go. Puffing, panting, working on that. And I began to lose a little weight. Then I thought, maybe I should ask someone who's been there before. Maybe you don't know Chris Privett here, but Chris is about my height and used to weigh just over 300 pounds. And he just dropped, how much did you drop, Chris? About 80 pounds. I thought, why don't I ask him? I'm not going to ask Gary. I'm not going to ask Sheldon. Why on earth should I ask somebody who hasn't pioneered where I want to go? So, he told me about this wonderful new word he introduced to me. Can't even think what it is now. The, not aerobic, anaerobic. Now listen. Any of you ever been on any of those machines? And it's got graphs on them. And it's got aerobic, and it's got fat burn. I've been doing the aerobic my whole life. Thank God it helped my breathing. Thank God for that. And my heart's obviously in a strong shape. I've had every test known to man, and my heart's really good, considering I was born with a hole in it. So, last Tuesday, he said, well, let me explain. With all that effort, when you're working so hard, your body goes, quick, we must help him in his effort. We must do this. And everything that you've got, it goes towards that. And then he said, but if you slow down your effort to something you can just do at that pace, then your body says, you know what? Why don't we break down the fat in his body and help him fuel, give him some fuel to do this? One line changed my waistline. I mean, my life. That was Monday. Monday. Yesterday, I'm 7 pounds lighter than Monday. 7 pounds lighter than Monday. Because I listened to somebody who's built that road before me. Because I listened to somebody who has pioneered ahead of me. Now, here's the challenge. You've heard it from me many times. I'll say it again. Why do you keep following people that aren't pioneers? Why do you keep telling me stories of what Smith Wigglesworth done? And tell me stories of what this one and that one. I'm not interested. It's their story. What's your story? What road are you on? If you're not on a road, then you are going to stay in your postage stamp with a hedge around it saying, keep out. I don't want to take the risk. I don't want any arrows in my wagon. I want to live in Brooklyn for the rest of my life. Because that's where they all went from Ellis Island. And some stayed. You ever been in Brooklyn? It's the most confusing place in America. You ever tried to drive through Brooklyn? It's stinking impossible. There's no road through it, neither east, west, north, south. Everything, it's like being in London in 1666. Which is the year it burnt down, of course. But anyway, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Who are you following? If you are not following Jesus, the pioneer, you're living in a postage stamp. And how do I know that? Because a lot of you I've known for between 5 and 10 years, and I don't see any growth or any change. You're still waiting for that cocoon. You're still waiting. You're still feeding your own cocoon. You're still feasting on it. One day, no, today, if you hearken to my voice. Why do you listen to gossips? Why do you listen to murmurers? Why do you listen to complainers? Are they pioneers? Yeah, pioneers of stopping you fulfilling the will of God in your life. Why do you listen to people who don't have money? Why do you hang around with people who don't have money if you don't have money? Because you just hear it all the time. You come in that environment and all you end up doing is speaking the language of the old country. You've been born again. Hallelujah. You are a new creature in Jesus Christ. Will you stop listening to people who are living in the past? I got a word to all you folks over 40. Repent. That's a good word. It means, please, if nobody's following your road, you're doing it all wrong. Doesn't that make sense? If there's nobody behind you, if there's nobody on the path, if there's nobody crossing the bridge you built, then you're doing it all wrong. And it's time to change. You can change. But not tomorrow. Can only change today. And so I want to encourage you folks, think about this. Look behind you. Where are your kids? Where are other people that in your Christian walk? When did you last lead someone to the Lord? Or at least when were you there when Alice did? When were you last there when Tim did under the bridge with Chris and Jared and X and all those people who go under there? Go under there with them. Go under there with them. Don't say anything. Just be a John. But sooner or later, you'll begin to have a bridge and a road that somebody else can walk on.